Well, boy, if you liked Dodger Blue before the year, you had to lay $7 to win one that they would win the NL West. Jensen, double that up. They're up to 14-1 that you have to lay 1,400 to win 100 bucks here on the Dodgers. Is that price point too inflated even for the Dodger Blue?
I guess to a certain extent, because, you know, it's they're still not at full strength. You got Blake Snell coming right back here at some point. You don't have Mookie Betts healthy. Remember, they dealt with injuries with him last year. Otani has had spurts where he's not been hitting, and I think that's by design. We'll get to that here in a moment. But looking at the rest of the West, and again, we like to deep dive on an offensive wins above replacement and a pitching wins above replacement market. No question, the Dodgers deserve the price point. They are third in offensive WAR. They're second in pitching WAR. And again, I'll underline, they are yet to be, they still are not at full strength. They're already there at number three offensively and number two as a pitching staff. So that's great news. Remember, Edwin Diaz still out with the loose bodies, elbow injury. So you have three key cogs that at some point are coming back here, and that's going to make an already good Dodger team even better. Let's look below them. San Diego at 12-1 to win the West. Now, Dave, I'll say that when you look back at the win totals, and we like to look at places and kind of make a correlated play, I thought the 102.5 for the Dodgers was very elevated, because why are they even motivated to win, you know, 105, 110 games, whatever. They just want to get in. They want to be healthy in September and rock and roll. The Padres might be a little bit more motivated, not only for a divisional price, at least in our eyes, but also from a home field advantage. Like, you want to have the Dodgers play in the wild card round to expend the resources. That's always been the MO of getting those top two spots record-wise to achieve the buy into the divisional round. I don't know if you want to take a Padres at 12-1, but for the value, for sure, because you're looking at it two ways. How motivated are the Dodgers to go win 100-plus games? Because, I mean, right now, you know, they would be on pace for, I think, right around 97. If I look at kind of the rest of it, 96 wins, I think. So it would be between them and the Yankees right now from a projection standpoint for the best overall record should the current pace continue. So the only actionable play, at least in the division market, would be the Padres. I would take you down to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they've kind of been an interesting case study, Dave. They have yet to really click offensively. Yet, they are league average. They're 15th in offensive wins above replacement. The pitching has really been surprising to me. And I'm wondering where Torrey Lovello's crew are. By the way, they're 17-17. They're just four games out of first place. Their rotation has the worst ERA in baseball. Yet you have guys like Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly who have really regressed so far. Can they get a bounce back from that? I don't know. You're likely getting Corbin Burnes, Dave, at some point, either right at the All-Star break, maybe shortly after. That in itself is going to feel like a blockbuster deal if he's right. So to me, the actionable price would be to go find a Diamondbacks NL pennant or a Diamondbacks to make the playoffs. And here's what I would do, and I'm interested in your thoughts on it. So the Diamondbacks to make the playoffs is plus $1.85. If you're going to play that for three quarters of a unit, and then take the Diamondbacks at 35-1 to win the National League. Why do we do that, Dave? First of all, you've already made back your buy-in on the National League pennant price if they make the postseason. So you're on house money. You now have a monetization opportunity depending on the matchup. They're a wild card. You know, they're going to end up going on the road somewhere. Fine. Unless they get that number four seed, which we'll see what happens. But I'm looking at their offense. They have three big dudes who, as long as they're healthy, Corbin Carroll, Geraldo Perdomo, Ketel Marte. You get Corbin Burnes back and get anything in a positive way from Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez. You see where I'm going here? Like, they have the internal assets to turn it. So if you're foreshadowing out just for a monetization opportunity, it feels like Arizona, as currently constructed, has more in the tank than what they've shown thus far.
I tell you what I'm looking at too, Jensen. If you wanted, looking for an actionable play, I am so double dog dared to take the Padres at 12-1 to win the division for the points that you laid out, especially because they were 8-1 before the season began. They're a half game back at the time of this conversation now of the Dodgers. And not to say it's a two-horse race, but there is a little bit of separation here between LA, San Diego, and everybody else. So with the Giants being down, with the Diamondbacks being right now average and the Rockies being the Rockies, it does feel like I'm getting a 12-1 opportunity on a one-horse race right now with the Dodgers. That's it. It's neck and neck down the stretch, you hope, down the stretch. And at 12-1, I think I'd be willing to take that price point. The other thing is AJ Preller. And for Larry Mirror, who does a great job directing this program back in Las Vegas, please put on your earmuffs if you're a Dodger backer. I'm going to look at AJ Preller and say, hey, I know that I need to win this division because last year as a wild card, Jensen, it didn't go well when we went to Chicago and had to play the Cubs. So we know from last year that you put the Dodgers in the position that we were in, if you're a Padre backer last year, that is the road that's much more difficult to travel. So the impetus is on San Diego to win the division. It's not on LA. So I wonder if AJ Preller would push some chips in the middle of that table before the trade deadline to go out and get resources to go. We can't go the wild card route. They can. We can't. We got to win this division. So at 12-1, that feels like a price point I can get involved with here in early May, knowing that in September, it really would behoove San Diego much more than LA to win that division. In the AL West, I keep waiting and waiting and waiting for the Mariners to get right. And with their starting pitching, we know that they should be able to stay in this. And that's why they're still the favorites to win the division. But Jensen, you can now get them at plus money. They were odds on to begin the year. Where are you in Seattle? When you kind of look at the rest of the division, Houston way down from where we thought they'd be. The surprise, it's not a surprise to you and I because we were on the Athletics, but they might be the surprise so far in the early part of the year.
Yeah, and we liked their offense a lot, and nothing has dissuaded me from that. By the way, I mentioned Shea Langeliers as a longer shot MVP candidate. Go look at his numbers compared to Judge and Ben Rice and Yordan Alvarez. Pretty compelling right now, but we'll see if he can make it last for 6 months. On the West front overall, I think it's a matter of time for the Mariners. I picked them to win the division. I picked them to win the AL pennant and get to the World Series. I have yet to see anything from a pitching staff standpoint that really gives me a moment of pause. They're just going to get better. Offensively, once they get kind of Cal Raleigh right, they're so close to turning the corner, Dave. They really are. Mm. And so I continue to remain emboldened for the Mariners in that preseason pick. The Rangers are the fascinating team in this division. And it may be, Dave, the same exercise that we just did with the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Rangers are 25th in offensive wins above replacement. And by God, they are so frustrating looking at the potential that they have. Now, you've got Wyatt Langford, who is supposed to be their dude, from the beginning of the year that has had the flexor issue at the end of April. So they got to get him healthy and they got to get him right. But Nimmo has looked the part. He was banged up a little bit, but he has looked like a great acquisition. Seager has been better this last week or so. Not good. Josh Young overall has been their best offensive player so far. You're buying in on DeGrom. I know he got hit up by the Yankees last night, but you're buying in on DeGrom, Eovaldi, Mackenzie Gore, Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter. You're buying in that this pitching staff is going to be there at the end, and I think they can be. But Dave, this is the most surprising stat. The Rangers have the lowest bullpen ERA in baseball, and you couldn't name 4, 5, any of those guys on there right now because they're all dudes under the radar that have really pitched exceptionally well. You get a great bullpen and great starting pitching and any semblance of offense, the Rangers might be there. So same exercise. I would look at a three-quarter unit play on the Rangers to make the postseason with a quarter unit on an AL pennant play and see where the chips fall when we get to the second half of the season.
Is John Wetwin still closing for the Rangers? Am I still right in the right decade, Jensen?